I'm Todd Gleason, live from the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa. It is a gorgeous day here on the Farm Progress Show site. Welcome to the Closing Mark Report, courtesy today of Iowa State University, the land-grant university in Iowa. Over the next half hour, we'll talk with John Odie of Farm Progress Publications. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group is with us. Jackie Vakes is along from Stuart Peterson Group. June Isaacson, who's one of the co-host families, and she's the matriarch of about an 80-acre plot that goes along with the Farm Progress Show site, will be with us. And if we get really lucky, Secretary of Agriculture for the United States Department of Agriculture, Ed Schaefer, will join us a bit later in the program, but we can't promise that one. He's scheduled to be in the ISU tent. We'll see whether that happens or not a bit later. Here's the way the numbers settled in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon from the wheat pit for the day. Nearby contract, 13 and three quarters lower at $7.89. December at $8.11, down 14 and three quarters, and the March at 14 and a half lower today at 834 and three quarters. May wheat futures, 849 and a quarter, down 14 and three quarters. Corn pit for the day, September contract at 570, finished 7.5 cents lower. December down 8 and a quarter at 587 and three quarters, and the March at 606 and three quarters, 8 and a quarter lower. May contract 619 and a quarter, down 8 and a half, and July 8 and three quarters lower at 629. December next year, 623 and three quarters, down 8 and one quarter for the day. Soybean futures this afternoon, nearby contract, September 15 and a half cents lower at 1332 and a half. November's at 1324, down 24 cents. And January down 23 and three quarters at $13.41 and a quarter. The nearby March contract at 13.53 and three quarters, down 23 and three quarters. May futures in the bean pit at 13.60 and three quarters, down 21 and three quarters. And November at 12.98 and a half, down 22 cents for the day. Soybean meal finished the day in the nearby September, rather October contract at 358.80, down 4.80. Soy oil down 88 cents in the SEPs at 53.34. And the cattle futures finished the nearby contract at 101.08, 45 cents higher. Lean hog futures at 68.53, down $1.98 for the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming and is an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialist. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333. Here are some of the rest of the numbers from the livestock pits. We'll finish out with the feeder cattle for the afternoon. Nearby contract was 55 cents lower at 112.40. The September at 111.10, down 13 cents. And the October contract at 110.43. Finished the day unchanged. We're coming to you today live from the Farm Progress Show site in Boone, Iowa. An interesting Farm Progress Show. Overnight here, about an inch of rain fell, and yet the crowds are really, really big this afternoon. And we'll ask John Odie about that a bit later. I think not only is this a fairly large day at the Farm Progress Show for a Thursday, but that yesterday may have been a record-setting day for the number of people that managed to make it out to Boone, Iowa. We're awfully glad that you, several of our listeners from not only the listening area across Illinois and Indiana, but our podcast listeners in Minnesota and Iowa and further far-flung places across the Midwest managed to stop in and see us. Dave Dickey and company have been on site at the AgriGold tent taking care of business, putting ag panels on for the last 3 days. Dan Zwicker has been with them, and he'll join us momentarily to talk about the agricultural markets for the afternoon. Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout central Illinois and western Indiana. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason, live from the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa. Dan Zwicker is with us on a Thursday afternoon, not from his offices as an ADM employee in Decatur, Illinois, but right here on the Farm Progress Show site. Hi, Dan.
Hi,
How you been?
Great. This has been an excellent Farm Progress show. We've had, you know, excellent weather was on Tuesday. Yesterday we had a little rain to grease things up, but the sun came out and dried things out fairly quickly. Today was probably a slow start, but it's coming to a fantastic end here this afternoon.
It really is coming to a fantastic end. ADM tent been busy?
We've been very busy. Of course, yesterday morning was probably the busiest when we were having that light rain. Everybody was hunting for a place to stay dry, and we had our ADM Farmer View website up on the big screen, and everybody was watching the radar, wondering when that system was going to move out, because you looked at the radar, this is the only place in the Midwest, I think it was raining yesterday morning.
I think that's right.
I think it's classic that if you need rain, just volunteer for the Farm Progress show, and you'll get rain in August.
You know, the good thing, you're right, the good thing about that was that it put people in the tents, and they stayed in the tents. The same thing happened at the AgriGold tent. I know Dave Dickey did, and I did a number of panels, or at least one, and it was a fairly lengthy one at that time, and boy, the farmers came, they stayed, they asked a whole lot of good questions. Speaking of which, what were they asking you in the ADM tent?
Well, they're all, I suppose the number one question is, do you believe the USDA numbers? I think if I was going to say the number one question, that's it. Farmers as a group are somewhat skeptical of USDA's August 1 numbers, and it's kind of like everybody's from Missouri this year, show me. And I explained to them what I knew about how USDA approached their methodology on the August 1 number. And, of course, we interviewed Joe there a couple of weeks ago on Commodity Week. And everybody has to kind of understand that that August number is population count or stock count, and then they multiply it by an ear weight. And as we go further down the road in trying to finalize this production number, September here, the USDA will have ear weight sizes. They'll have a little better idea what to multiply the stock count by to come up with the yield. And that same way with soybeans, that the soybean crop is so young right now that, you know, the pod count came in probably as low as it's been in the past 10 years, and that's one of the reasons why we have the 40 bushel type yield estimate. But I would say that's the big question of farmers is, do you think USDA is right?
They didn't ask you where you thought the price of commodities was going to go?
Oh, yeah, there was some of that. There was some of that. And I basically shared them some of the cyclical type work that I share here with WLLL and the technical side of the market. I mean, I think the lows that we made here a couple weeks ago will go down as somewhat important intermediate lows, if not maybe some longer-term lows. And we should be in a generally sideways to higher type pattern for upwards of 4 weeks. I think near-term here, this break that we've had this week, the way I look at it on the chart, it's either tracing out a flag-type formation to go higher and or maybe a right shoulder of head and shoulder bottom to go higher. So so far, I think that this break has been relatively mild, and we'll kind of see where we go next week on it.
Okay, Dan, thanks much. Any final word from you?
No, other than I think everybody needs to still be a little cautious. We had a lot of end users buy expansive inventory, and they're having to work this inventory off and this decline. So it may be a while before we can kind of get back to a more stable type situation, and I think that kind of explains why this market is zigging and zagging a little bit. But as time goes on here and we get a little better idea what the crop size are, maybe things will start stabilizing a little bit.
Thank you much. Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons. Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risk through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information available at www.stuart-peterson.com. John Odia, Farm Progress Publications, joins us this afternoon. And most of you are familiar, if you listen to Commodity Week or have for very long, with John as an analyst who's talked to us as one of our guests on that program. John, welcome to the Closing Market Report.
Top of the afternoon to you, Todd, and a big hello to all our loyal readers in Prairie Farmer Land and Wallace's Farmer Land here in Iowa.
Well, today you're not going to come to us as an analyst today. You're going to come to us as maybe a color commentator for the Farm Progress show. And I think maybe we ought to start with how the show went so far and what the delay in the planting season did to you.
One of the things, Todd, that built this show was the field demonstrations, and we've run field demonstrations since the show started in 1953 over there at, I believe it was Eastern Illinois over by Danville. And we were disappointed, and so were exhibitors, that we didn't get the field demonstrations to go off as smoothly as we had hoped that they would. And one of the reasons was we did our best. Let me put it to you like this. We planted 78-day corn, and the planting delays and not piling up enough growing degree days and rain, and it just got us behind. And we're going to give it our best shot again next year at the Decatur site and 2 years from now right here.
You know, speaking of the Decatur site, after we took a look at the crowds that came in yesterday, and maybe you can tell me whether that was a record breaker, but boy, it was crowded here on the Farm Progress Show site, and we had rain yesterday morning.
It's hard to say whether it was a record crowd or not, or at least, and somebody may know that, I don't, but it was a really good crowd. Yesterday morning about 10 o'clock, I went through the varied industries tent, and people were just packed in there looking at the new wares that some of those folks are doing and showing. And Todd, as you know, this is the biggest farm show in North America, and different companies have chosen this site or our show to introduce whatever their newest and best products for the fall season. This Farm Progress Show has kind of become known as the Detroit Auto Show equivalent of agriculture. The Deere and AGCO and Case IH, New Holland, all introduced new products here, new combines, new tillage, new planting equipment. It's just the greatest thing we've done so far.
It's a really good show. It set the bar high for Decatur next year, that's for sure. Can you make it?
We're
in Illinois, so we can make it, I know.
We're going to give it our best shot. I didn't happen to be able to go to the Decatur show last year, but 3 years ago now when I was over there, and I looked at that site and the improved drainage and the hard roads, I says to myself, Decatur has set a real high bar for the show we were going to be looking at for in Iowa. And I think that kind of contributed to, you know, the extra time it took to get this show put together with this young lady and her family right here, June Isaacson. And it just astonishes me. I've been associated with Farm Progress shows 30 years now, and the cooperation that we get out of local communities, local law enforcement, local chambers of commerce, you know, tourism groups and that sort of thing. And it's just amazes me. You know, it starts out and it just gradually keeps coming together and coming together and coming together and coming together. And we have this crescendo. It used to be the last week in September. We've advanced that to toward the end of August. And everything just works.
You know, it's been a great show, but I have one thing before we go. You talked about Decatur and what a great show site that is. Everything's paved there. When's it going to be paved here? Because it's not done yet.
I don't know, Todd, specifically the answer to that. We're working on it. and that's going to gradually kind of go together. And as you know, we would have gotten more done this year if the weather would have been more cooperative. I think when you come back here and you and I have this conversation in 2 years from now, it's going to look a lot different.
Boy, I hope we have this conversation. John, thanks for talking with us this afternoon. John Odie.
Delight to be here, Todd.
John Odie is with Farm Progress Publications, and he mentioned June Isaacson was here. June Isaacson, and you'll have to forgive me, I'm going to call you the matriarch of the Farm Progress Show site. Does that work for you?
That's fine.
All right, June Isaacson, as you know, or some of you may know, it takes a lot of cooperation to get the Farm Progress Show sites together. And the bulk of that cooperation up front is trying to coordinate the number of acres that are needed for a Farm Progress Show site. John, you haven't left yet. I think it's 600, about 600, right? Is that right, June? And they do not always belong to one family. There are a half a dozen families here, and June Isaacson is the matriarch of one of those families. They have the 80 acres across the street.
We have 80 acres, and we are the part of the crop production area that it backs to the building site The building site is a permanent structure that is called Iowa Expo, and we will hope to improve on it because we found out with 40 inches of rain since April, you have some problems.
Yeah, you've got some drainage problems, and we had it. But given that, we had an inch of rain here last night.
That's right.
And it was not terribly bad. It was bad, but not terribly bad coming in today.
Well, last fall, they did a nice job of putting in their drainage system with a retention pond, and I think that's done wonders. And they have some of the roads needs to improve, but for the time we had, I think they've done well.
We're here in the Iowa State tent. I know you have some involvement with them. Can you tell me about your family just a
bit? All right. I have a daughter-in-law, Judy, that is in extension. She's been in extension for about 30 years. My son is a farm manager, appraiser. He has his own business out near Cedar Rapids. I have two grandsons. One is 22, one's 25, one's a senior, one's a graduate student.
Both at ISU?
Both at Iowa State.
We won't hold that against you. And I shouldn't say that too loud. We are in the ISU tent.
My husband and I both had worked there. I had worked 15 years there, and my husband had worked 12. So we're pretty much involved. Dick and Judy both graduated from there, their graduate work, and so we're very proud.
Well, farm families across the nation tend to stick together, and thank you very much for hosting the program.
Thank you.
June Isaacson is the matriarch of one of the half a dozen or so farm families that helped to put on the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa. It does take a great deal of cooperation to get families to allow their land to be used for the Farm Progress Show. Some of it gets trampled over really hard, and it takes some doing to get it back in shape so it can be a production property again. Of course, the sites now in Illinois and in Iowa are both permanent sites. The site here is owned by a corporation, the 80 acres at least. The farmland is not. That takes some cooperation and leasing from those farm families, and it's really very comforting that kind of cooperation still happens in agriculture, and it happens all across the board in agriculture, including with the analysts that WILL has on the air. They cooperate together and play and work nicely together most of the time. Jackie Vakes has been with us here for 3 days at the Farm Progress Show, along with Dave Dickey, the Director of Agriculture Programming, hosting about 30-minute to hour-long panels on marketing information 3 to 4 times a day. Jackie, thanks for joining us on the Closing Mark Report this afternoon.
You're welcome, Ted.
I know you were on the air with us the first day. At least you made it on the air on those radio stations that are part of the WILL network of stations, including WHO and GFA and KEI and TIM. But you did make it on the air with WILL because we failed miserably at that, and I do apologize to the listeners. Part of that was my problem, and there were some technical difficulties along the way as well. We'll give you a second chance to talk this afternoon. What'd you learn from the farmers this week?
Well, certainly that they're all very concerned about what's going to happen with the crops and where the prices are going to go. I think, as Dan Zwicker said earlier, the number one question was, where did the USDA ever come up with that kind of a number? And, you know, it's a tough situation for the USDA to project anything. And I think it just makes it more difficult for farmers to market.
What kinds of advice have you been giving them?
Well, I've talked a lot from the producer side. I think we have to know what our costs are. We have to get our inputs tied up before we make aggressive forward contracting sales. And considering that we're probably not going to be able to do a lot of contracting, I think using bare put spreads as a good way to put a floor on and be able to wait to see what the market wants to do, because none of us knows. An early frost could propel us into all new highs for beans. An extended growing season could keep us right where we're at. You know, there are just a lot of things to think about. When it comes to the end user side, I think they need to get their cash tied up. I believe they've got a great opportunity right now.
So the end user should get in and buy a whole year's supply?
Well, if they can, but it's probably unlikely they can do that anymore. About 2 months ago, we suddenly saw this change in the marketplace where their ability to buy out beyond beyond a month or even sometimes into the first quarter of next year went away. And you can't blame the people who are selling to them. I think it's hard for all of us here in Iowa and Illinois to even identify with having an inability to get grain. But when you move out further away from this area, they have to depend on people from here to guarantee them delivery. And if they can't get guaranteed delivery, they're not going to give it to the end user.
So this would be for some of the livestock producers. Well, probably even for those that are in the Midwest, but some of those outside of the Midwest that might have dairy farms located in or hog farms located in the far western reaches of the nation.
That's absolutely true, especially true in Idaho, Arizona, California, and then when you go to the East Coast. You know, East Coast is really a corn deficit area. And they have a huge hog industry out there as well as a poultry industry. So I think basically what we're seeing is a big change coming around from a just-in-time inventory for an end user to having to actually get out there and aggressively buy in the cash market rather than waiting.
Let's take a moment, since we're in the Iowa State tent, to talk a bit about a learning moment and maybe tell producers what a barefoot spread might be.
Okay.
And we have 2.5 minutes. That might not be enough to pull it off, but give it a shot.
Well, they can always call me after this, but I'll give it my best. I'll give you an example. Let's say that you have $13 beans right now, and that's an attractive price to you. You could buy a $13 bean put for November, sell perhaps, and I didn't look at the prices today, but let's say $1.20 or $1.50 lower put to reduce your cost. A bear put spread gives you a fixed risk position. It also gives you the opportunity to sleep at night. And so if the market goes down, you have the ability to gain, minus whatever you spent on your premium, down to the lower put level that you sold. If the market goes higher, you have the ability to be able to make a cash sale or to perhaps roll that bear put higher to a higher strike price. And let's say we went from $13 to $14. We're going to give up some money on the bear put spread, but we can go up and protect a higher price and still let the market show us what it has to do.
Dan Zwicker mentioned earlier in the program that most farmers don't believe USDA and their 155 bushel average. How about you?
I don't, to be honest. But at the same time, we have to understand USDA has a deviation on that report. And on corn it was 10.9%, beans it was 11.5. So the USDA is right. If we have a 10.8 billion bushel crop or if we have a 13.6 billion bushel crop on corn, they're also right if we have a 2.63 or a 3.32 on beans. All it really says to me is USDA is extremely uncertain of where we are, too, with this crop. And it's because of the limitations they have in how they collect their data. And we're too far behind compared to normal to make it easy for them to give us a more accurate number.
Well, it should be an interesting time as we head into the fall time frame, and we'll be talking with you more. I know, Jackie Bakes, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And depending on whether we have the Secretary of Agriculture show up in the next few minutes, can you stay around and talk with us again
after we
get through the break?
Certainly can.
Great. Thanks much. Stuart Peterson is one of our sponsors, and Jackie Bakes works for them, Stuart Peterson Group. We're live here at the Farm Progress Show at this Iowa State University tent, expecting Secretary of Agriculture Ed Schaefer to join at least the tent crowd, if not us, on our program here. He is due in the tent at 2:45, and I was told he might make the trip over just a bit early, but he is the Secretary of Agriculture. We'll see in 2 minutes.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Four state parks in east central Illinois will close because of budget cuts at the Department of Natural Resources. A spokesman for the agency says 11 state parks across the state will close November 1st, including Kickapoo State Park near Oakwood, Moraine View State Park near Leroy, Wolf Creek State Park near Windsor, and Weldon Springs State Park near Clinton. 39 DNR staffers are also being laid off, most of them associated with the 11 state parks. The cutbacks are also affecting several state historic sites. State Preservation Agency spokesman Dave Blanchett says the Lincoln Log Cabin site near Lerna will close October 1st and will reopen only for special events. The state's largest public employee union says it's received notice from Governor Blagojevich's administration that as many as 450 employees overall will be laid off over the next few months. AFSCME says the cuts will impact Human Services and Children and Family Services offices, as well as Natural Resources and Historic Preservation. The union says most of the jobs are frontline positions rather than upper management. The governor reduced agency budgets after lawmakers sent him a spending plan he called out of whack. meaning it called for spending way beyond the revenue the state would bring in. A federal mediator will help Champaign Unit 4 administrators and teachers union members work out a new contract. Illinois Federation of Teachers spokesman John Nadler says talks have been cordial but have slowed in recent weeks. The previous contract ran out at the end of June, but Nadler says the call for a mediator does not mean the two sides are at an impasse. More than 86,000 students are attending the 23 Ivy Tech Community College campuses in Indiana this year. Lawmakers 3 years ago broadened Ivy Tech's mission, making it the state's community college system. Officials say enrollment may be fueled in part by the sluggish economy and demand for affordable education. Two-time presidential candidate John Edwards plans to speak at the University of Illinois at Folinger Auditorium October 14th. The former senator acknowledged earlier this month he had an extramarital affair with a filmmaker hired by his political action committee during his most recent bid for president. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
From the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa, I'm Todd Gleason. This is the closing mark report on the last day of the show. Here's what the weather forecast says for the two-state region. From our own meteorologist, Ed Kieser, he says in northern Illinois tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy, a few showers, some thunderstorms before midnight. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy, some scattered showers and thunderstorms. Lowe says, Ed, will range from 56 in far northwestern Illinois to 68 in the south, and tomorrow in the north and in central parts of Illinois. It'll be partly to mostly sunny in the central part of Indiana. In the south, mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow will range from 76 along the Chicago lakefront to around 90 in the far south. Here's the extended forecast. Dry weather expected across all of Illinois and Indiana for the entire Labor Day weekend. Tropical storm Gustav is near Jamaica and hardly moving. Ed says Gustav is expected to strike somewhere along the U.S. Gulf Coast on about Tuesday morning of next week. The strength and track of the hurricane still in question, but there's a good chance that the hurricane will be at least a Category 3. Until that storm starts moving, there's not much question as to where it will travel, though. If Gustav does strike Texas or Louisiana, then, as said, some significant rainfall is possible in Illinois and Indiana late next week. All is iffy on the forecast for later next week because of that point. Tropical storm Hannah has formed in the Atlantic Ocean, northeast of the northernmost Leeward Islands, and as says, that storm could impact a portion of the east coast of the United States late next week. Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural communities with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender. I'm Todd Gleason. This is the closing mark report on a Thursday afternoon from the ISU tent in Boone, Iowa for the Farm Progress Show. Well, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group were waiting patiently, and there are a whole bunch of folks waiting patiently for Secretary of Ag Ed Schaefer to arrive. I don't think he's going to make it in time to talk with us this afternoon. I didn't hear him address the CRP issue when he talked at the noon hour today, because I had to come away from that just a bit early. I have my doubts as to whether or not he will actually manage to talk about that very much. It doesn't seem that the CRP will be put out as something that the secretary will be able to change in the near future after there was a judgment against the grazing part of the CRP. So we'll figure out whether that happens a bit later. He talked a little bit about COOL, and there were a couple of other things he discussed. There are two deadlines in the month of September that farmers need to be aware of. One of them has to do with disaster payment. It's disaster payments, that is, and farmers need to get into the local FSA office to hear about disaster payments and get signed up for that program. If they don't by September the 15th, then they're locked out, and I think they may be locked out for 5 years. The other one is the September 30th deadline, and on that one, farmers need to be in to talk about DCPs. I believe that stands for direct and your countercyclical payments. So if you haven't talked with your FSA office lately, before you get into the harvest season as a farmer, you probably need to take that up. And we will discuss that on our programs, I'm sure, over the next week or so, making sure the producers are aware of what they do and do not need to do. From the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa, on the closing day, I'm Todd Gleason. Thanks for listening.
Florida has long resisted offshore oil drilling for the sake of its 850 miles of beaches, but that's changing.
We're a tourist state. We have to protect the beauty of Florida, but we also need to have people have the opportunity to drive here and be able to afford to do that too.
High gas prices could mean fewer visitors. Florida reconsiders offshore drilling. That story later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste. Quinn Henry Frayne is our technical director. On Wall Street this afternoon, the Dow is up 191 points at 11,694. The Nasdaq up 26 points at 20,408. And the S&P 500 up 16 at 1297. The price of a barrel of crude in New York at the Merck down 256. To 115.59. In business headlines, the Boeing Machinists Union says the aerospace company has delivered a new contract offer. The airplane maker's latest offer comes as part of a week of round-the-clock negotiations at a Seattle airport hotel ahead of the current contract's expiration on September 3rd. 3 years ago, the machinists went on strike. Boeing has announced a $1 million donation to help build the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial. A foundation working to build the memorial in Washington says it has now raised $100 million for the effort. An official with Air Canada's regional carrier, Jazz, says the airline is removing life vests from all its planes to save weight and fuel. A spokeswoman says government regulations allow airlines to use flotation devices such as seat cushions instead of life vests if the planes remain within 50 miles of shore. And expectations are still low for economic growth toward year-end, but GDP for the second quarter has been revised higher. The Commerce Department says the economy expanded at an annual rate of 3.3%, helped by strong exports. That's a look at business headlines.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the City of Urbana, presenting the local farmers market at the square every Saturday morning starting at 7 a.m. with homegrown produce, fresh flowers and plants, baked goods and food, and original works of art at the corner of Illinois and Vine Streets, downtown Urbana. Information at 384-2444.
Has a bright paper package tied up with string always been one of your favorite things? If so, science might have an explanation. In a study of college students, scientists set out to test the hypothesis that an item packaged in wrapping paper elicits a more positive response from the recipient than one that remains unpackaged. In the study, 45 subjects were asked to evaluate a set of products and were promised a gift in exchange for their participation. Although each participant received an identical gift, half of the gifts were covered nicely in wrapping paper, while the other half were given without gift wrap. Reactions to the gift were examined by asking the participants to rate their perception of it. The participants who received gift wrap packages consistently gave the gift a higher rating. Researchers then went a step further to test the extent to which the quality of the wrapping paper had an effect on the recipient's perception of the gift. Again, participants were each given an identical gift. One group received the gift elaborately wrapped with a decorative paper and bows. A second group was given packages wrapped with brown paper and no bow, and a third group received the gift with no wrapping at all. Using a similar rating system, the researchers